Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Been a minute since we've done one of these Monday shows following a Lions loss. TJ Lang in studio.
Sad Monday.
I know. Yeah, how does this work? It's been a while. Are you guys call and yell and complain and we fire coaches? Is that what happens after losses?
No.
No. No.
We call and yell, but no.
12-2. Still in the driver's seat for the one seed. But TJ, like, that defense was bad. Let's just start. What did you take out of that game?
You know what? And the offense was bad early, too. I mean, you had 14 points until 2 minutes left in the third quarter, you know, in a shootout. So, both sides. I mean, I think I learned yesterday that you can't. We've seen them have a couple duds this year, right? I think the Houston game was a bit of a dud offensively, but you were good enough to beat that team. Even Thanksgiving, a little bit of a dud against Chicago with all the failed red zone trips. But your team was good enough to beat them. I think obviously yesterday we learned you can't afford to have a dud against another premier team in the NFL. You're going to dig yourself too deep of a hole and not going to be able to come back from it. So, yeah, the defense was rough, obviously. I mean, no pressure on Josh Allen. If you told me Ty Johnson was going to be one of Buffalo's best offensive players, I would have probably felt really good about that game. But they couldn't find a way to cover anybody, get any pressure. The run defense was, I think, a major surprise because they had been doing such a great job against running backs all season long. And yesterday it looked way too easy. You know what I mean? It just looked way too easy. And I know that when you play a guy like Josh Allen, it can take you out of your rhythm a little bit. It can make you an undisciplined player when, hey, I'm supposed to be here, but if I go this way, maybe I can help a little bit. That's how you get burned. I think we saw that a bunch yesterday. And in the first two drives of each half offensively, you know, three punts and a fumble in a time where, especially in the second half, it's like, okay, we got to go. You know what I mean? Like, we got to go. We can't come out of the halftime and let up a touchdown and then go three and out and then get the ball back and then fumble and all of a sudden we're down 35-14 to that team. You know what I mean? That's not how you got to play. So, I thought coach was right. I thought the players were right when they said didn't seem like a lot of urgency yesterday. I don't know why that is. You know, that's something internally they're going to have to address, but that's something I noticed too. And we kept saying it throughout the course of that game. The Bills looked like they were just playing at a different speed. They just looked faster. They looked more athletic than the Lions did. And I think that was the first time all season that I felt that the other team, you know, just was playing at a higher level, playing at a faster pace of play, playing with more urgency, playing with more tempo. And obviously all those things added up to too deep of a hole for you to dig out of by the end. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't as close as the score. 6 point. It wasn't. It really felt like it felt like the only time they got back in that game where it's like, okay, maybe like was the 12-minute mark and then the onside kick and then
it goes the
5
other
seconds
way.
Later you're back down 17 and it's like, gosh, damn.
Sometimes the ball just doesn't bounce your way.
No.
And you wouldn't expect that to happen on an onside kick, even if they know it's coming and the whole stupid kickoff rules and you got to announce it in the fourth quarter. You still wouldn't expect a guy to catch it like that.
Yeah, and take it, you know, to the 2-yard line. But I even that call, I mean, we were all, everybody was questioning it, right? Because it's like, okay, you're still going to need a stop no matter what. But if you're Dan Campbell, I mean, had your defense stopped Buffalo from getting to midfield that entire game? I don't think they did, right? So I think in your mind, you're thinking, hey, okay, if we don't get it, I mean, at least we're going to save some time. The time that it's going to take them to march from the 30 to the 50, maybe we can save that time because we haven't stopped them yet. So, you know, either way, we're going to probably need a stop around midfield. So if we don't get the onside kick, you're right. I mean, I just obviously you didn't expect them to have a big return off of that to set up a one play touchdown.
Damn it.
Yeah. Just it was.
I think that was the collective.
Comedy of errors. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Like, okay. You know, like the worst possible thing that could happen. That.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't think my confidence has changed in this team. Obviously, we can talk about, you know, how injuries aren't an excuse, but at some point, it's just reality. I mean, at some point,
but then if it is reality, so much, but then TJ,
it's a bummer.
But if it is a reality, then it is a reality beyond just Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's unfair to say that it's concerning with how many players they've lost. And, you know, I'm probably going to find out today. I know those guys are going to need some testing done, but certainly didn't sound optimistic at all about
for either
Carlton
of those guys
Davis or Ali McNeil. We know Khalil Dorsey's going to be done. I think Coach made that pretty clear. But at some point, it's reality, man. And you know what I mean? Like, there's only so much I think the depth players on your team can do, especially with the caliber of players that you're losing. Your best, probably your best two defensive linemen, your best linebacker, your best cover corner. You know what I mean? Like, it's reality, and that's a very difficult position to be in. I do have faith, though, in Aaron Glenn, because I think last year when they had some injury bugs, he showed us late in the season, you know what? I'm a chameleon, man. Like, we got to change things up. Exotic defense. I'm going to bring pressure from all over the place, try to confuse you, and it worked a lot last year. So they're obviously going to have to make some adjustments on that side of the ball.
Yeah, but they have to be better than last year. Because the goal is to be better than last year. It's to win the Super Bowl. So, like, the injuries are the reality, and I think it's a pretty harsh reality here, TJ. I mean, that's the only elite quarterback they faced. To win a Super Bowl, they will likely face an elite quarterback.
Yeah.
And while some people will say, well, the defense was hurt, yeah, they'll get Anzalone back, but they're not getting healthier. They're going the wrong way when you bring up Ali McNeil and you bring up Carlton Davis.
Yeah.
And I just feel like your confidence should be shaken some from that, right? I mean, they got their ass handed to them. To your point, it wasn't as close as the score indicated. They're down 14-0 from the jump, 17 points in the fourth. They were never in it.
Yeah, but you know what? But the players, we can sit here and say, okay, was it as close as the 6-point game? Probably not. But the players, you go in there, and I know, look, you got punched in the mouth a little bit yesterday. But, and John, you know this, anytime you go in on a Monday, when you watch a game like this, you honestly, you look at like one or two plays, like, man, if that would have went our way, like, that game could have been different. You know what I mean? You don't go in there saying every single play we got punched in the mouth. Man, we're just getting bullied around. Maybe on defense because it felt like that. But I think the offense, which honestly, our expectations for that offense are much higher than the defense based off, I think, just the personnel that they have. I think that's fair. So the guys on offense, I know, probably go in today and just probably feel like they lost that game for the team, right? Yeah. If it's going to be a shootout, hey, we gotta help our defense out a little bit more. We can't afford all these empty possessions. We can't afford putting two touchdowns on the board for the first three quarters of that game. But really, when it comes down to it, it's no panic mode. You look and you say, okay, couple third downs here and there, man. Like, if we just, you know, block it up a little bit better or a little bit detailed on that route, that could be a big play in that game. So I don't think there's any panic mode when it comes, from internally in that locker room. And when you talk about the injuries, of course you're aware of it. Of course it sucks, you know, when you're losing players of that caliber.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to step up. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have time in the NFL to sit there and just sulk about it and just, oh, man, I can't believe we lost another guy. You're like, it's just, guys, we got to figure it out, man. We're professionals, right? And we still, in my opinion, have, I think, the best top-to-bottom roster in the NFL. Now, they're going to have to rely on a lot of guys that haven't had a ton of experience, but you're here for a reason. I think those guys have to understand that.
I was going to ask you can say sportsbooks don't matter. I just want your answer. Are they the favorite to win the Super Bowl today?
Probably not. I mean, you just lost to him.
No, I'm just asking you. You're right. I'm saying, yeah. forget about FanDuel or any of these. Like, you, TJ Lang, are the Lions the favorite?
Do I think they're Super Bowl contenders?
No, I didn't say contender. Because they're
do you think they can, or do you think they will?
I think they can.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're Super Bowl contenders. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
John is still in the will category.
I still think they will.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm not going to sit here and say I expect them to, because if they don't win it, the season's a failure, which I don't really...
But TJ, I don't subscribe
to that either.
But a week ago, we were saying they will win the Super Bowl. They're invincible. Double-digit disco.
That's like Dan Campbell saying, we will recover this onside kick. You know what I mean? Like, sure. It's incredibly difficult to do. Do you have the talent to do it? Do you have the team to do
right.
it? When you play your style of football, yes, you do.
But TJ, I'm not going to count them out.
Can happen, so.
Sure, I'm not going to count them out. The way they responded when they lost Aiden Hutchinson spoke volumes, right? The fact that this team is 12-2 and they still control their own destiny, I'm not counting them out. But boy, was that sobering. Like, that was... You know, we're sitting here partying, having a good time.
You know what? But honestly, I mean, I don't think it's the worst thing that could happen to this team. You know, and I heard you guys talking about it a little bit on the drive in. Like, sometimes you need, you can turn this into a positive.
Right.
A wake-up call. Hey, guys.
I don't like the concept of, that was a good loss or you needed to lose. But it's what they do with this loss. How does it shape what Aaron Glenn does when they face Minnesota at the end of the year, or when they face Philly in the playoffs, or if they face Buffalo again? Like, how do they respond to what just happened yesterday?
I don't hate that they're going through some adversity at this point of the season. You know what? I just don't hate it, because I've seen Dan Campbell and I've seen this group respond.
Sharpen the tools.
When they've had some adverse moments in the past 2.5 years, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what excites me is, you know, how are they going to come out of this game finding a way to get better and finding a way to get back on track, where all of a sudden next Monday we're sitting here saying, ah, man, like, okay, we're back. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this team's doing it. Obviously, it's going to take a lot of hard work, but I have a tremendous amount of faith, like all of us should, in Dan Campbell turning it back around and getting those guys back on the right, on the same page.
So just the math on Jim's Super Bowl question, though. They dropped 61% since 425 yesterday. 61%. From 270 to 440.
It was an eye-opening loss.
God, just count them out.
No.
That's not what we're doing. Hold on now.
I'll tell you what they've done is you've got four teams right now that are less than plus 500 to win.
It's open. Yeah.
So they're protecting themselves with these four teams, and they don't think anybody else can win it.
It's a four-horse race, and you're one of the horses still running.
I hate that odds are so much a part of this. Like,
Don't tell me the odds.
Yeah, don't tell me the odds.
It's such a player's perspective.
Don't tell me the odds.
248-539-9797. We got nearly a full bank of calls. We can make room for you. We'll get to the people who are waiting and want to talk with TJ, want to talk about this football team. It's 97-1. Let's talk about your teeth. Not a lot of people smiling after that Lions game. If you skip going to the dentist, or you just stop going altogether, you start to get stressed out, it causes you a little anxiety. It doesn't have to be that way. With Brightside Dental, there's no judgment. They're not going to lecture you. They're not going to get on you because you're not flossing three times a day and after meals and everything. But they do want to get you in there, and they want to get you the care that you need. Exams, cleanings, get in before the end of the year. You want braces, Invisalign. You want to correct the smile. $1,500 off braces for new patients. Invisalign for as low as $59 a month for 60 months. Brightside Dental, there's one location near you with 9 in Metro Detroit. 1-800-PAINLESS, brightsidedental.com. That's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boy, some friend Rico Beard is. He texts me, what time does the disco open this morning? I'm listening.
Oh, you got one game right.
Yeah. Well, probably the same time it opens up in San Francisco.
Actually, it's after the San Francisco burial today.
Rico's going to be dancing 2 to 6. I told you. Yeah, I mean, us three do kind of look like idiots because we were all like...
It depends on Mike's take.
Well, the three of us do kind of look like idiots. Yeah, we're all in the double-digit win. Right, but that'd be nice. Hey, stop it.
I texted him back. I said, they didn't pay the light bill. No strobe lights today.
Give credit where credit was due, Rico. Rico was right.
Yeah, once in 15.
Right. Yeah.
I said they didn't pay the light bill.
John said that, Rico. I mean.
Hey, before we get these phone calls, something I just brought up off air to you guys. The Lions came into that game. Lions came into the game with their starting secondary intact, right? Both safeties, starting corners, the five guys in their nickel defense were all healthy.
Yep.
Their D-line was missing Aiden, but everybody else was healthy.
And Davenport, I mean.
Okay.
No, okay. What do you mean? Okay, he was a starter.
I'll say it before John does. I mean, they didn't get anything out of Davenport to begin with. I mean, that.
He only played two games, but it wasn't a bum.
Okay, they had their horses on the D-line for the most part, as healthy as they were going to be on the D-line in months, right? Yeah. And they had their starting secondary. And the only starting linebacker they were missing, you start two, was Alex Anzalone. They were playing 9 of the 11 starters on this defense. Call it 8 if you want to throw Davenport. The majority of the number 2 defense in the NFL played and got one stop. Gave up 550 yards. Mm-hmm. So, John, when you say it's a bad day to have a bad day, that's concerning to me beyond that bad day. When that's your defense in a big spot against an elite quarterback that you have to beat to win a Super Bowl. That's why I have more concern than you do today.
Well, but I also have more faith in the offense, that the offense is going to be a lot better than it was yesterday.
Well, they are going to punt in a playoff game.
Okay. I still expect the offense to be better than it was yesterday.
They scored 42 points. I'm talking about empty possessions
when you start off the game 3-and-out. That's an empty possession. There's no change of field. There's nothing. No time off the clock. There's no statement made of this is what it's going to be the rest of the game. In fact, it's the other way around. And then the second time, you have 5 plays, but you only pick up 3 yards. You start the second half and you go, 3 plays minus 5 yards. The next possession, you pick up a first down, but then you throw the ball to Amon-Ra St. Brown and the ball's on the ground. The other team has the ball. That's 4 empty possessions that you can't have. And I don't expect 4 empty possessions against a team like Buffalo again.
248-539-9797. Can they win the Super Bowl? Will they win the Super Bowl? Which camp are you in? You're all fired up. I like this. We haven't had a loss to talk about in a while, so we'll see where people are at.
Well, I thought it was disappointing offensively speaking, too, because you just mentioned how healthy Detroit was. Buffalo was missing their 2 starting safeties and their top corner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you go into that game, and you're like, okay, we want to just start throwing the ball, but no, we got to... It was disappointing. And the run game, it's been 2 weeks in a row now. Yep. I really don't know what's going on there. I mean, when David Montgomery has 4 yards on 5 carries, then it's a group effort. But that's been 2 weeks in a row because Green Bay, it was not good either.
We're not getting movement up front. And to me, it's just 3 inside. And I've got to look at the film closer once I get a chance to look at the All-22 because I don't necessarily want to throw anybody under the bus that doesn't belong under the bus. But to me, it was movement up front, movement at the snap of the ball. And TJ, you and I know, when a guy's lined up in a 3 technique, or if he's head up, or if he's inside, and he plays straight, like okay, now it's a matter of pad footwork to be able to move him off the ball. When they move at the snap of the ball, it complicates it a little bit, and you have to rely even more on your footwork. There were times where I think Zeitler, he took a wrong step to begin with and crossed over and wasn't able to recover on some of that movement, whether it was Russo or who was the other cat that was killing us up front?
Oliver.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, I look at it and I say all of that to say it's all fixable. Like what they did wrong yesterday, the reason that they weren't able to run the ball was it was technique and it's fixable. And it's things that these guys, Zeitler's done this for his whole career, not what we saw yesterday. He's much more reliable. Same with Glasgow. And we know it's the same thing with Frank in the middle.
The point is well made that the offense could have done more to help the defense. And you mentioned the empty possessions early in the game. You dig yourself a hole. It changes the way the game is played. But I don't want to downplay or defend the indefensible. Like that defense is a huge problem. And that was when they were healthy to start the game and then the injuries that mounted as the game went on. Do I think it's going to be an issue when they face Chicago? No. Do I think it's going to be an issue when they face the Niners? No. And it may not be an issue when they face the Vikings or anybody else in the NFC. Do I think it'll be an issue when they face Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, or Lamar Jackson? Yes, I do. And that was the one thing that I thought, hey, their defense was vastly improved, and it's clear that that's not going to be the unit that they roll into the postseason with. 248-539-9797. Let's get some phone calls in the mix. Get some of your thoughts. Let's get to Garrett on a cell. Garrett, you're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good.
So, you guys basically stole every single point that I just was going to bring up. But, I mean...
Say it better than we did.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, now, I mean, I have to go against, like, the Bears' hot take that we're not going to have any problems. Now, the Bears' rush defense is a heck of a lot better than that of Buffalo. And if we're already struggling 2 weeks in a row, and this team, their offense is predicated on the run and the play action. If we cannot establish this against the Bears at home in Soldier Field, we're going to have a problem. This defense, I mean, that's an easy take to say, yes, this defense didn't deliver on basically any of their opportunities yesterday. But they're going against an MVP caliber quarterback. What do you really expect the battered-up defense to do against that kind of quarterback, right? So, I mean, in the end of the day, I mean, I honestly put yesterday's loss on the offensive line. I'm sorry, DJ. But, I mean, they have to establish that line. I mean, there's a reason why there's a cliche that games are won and lost in the trenches, right? So,
yeah, I agree that the game wasn't completely lost by the offensive line. It wasn't completely lost by the defense. It wasn't Dan Campbell with the onside kick. There's a lot of factors that contributed to them losing the game. But if I look at those empty possessions to start the game, you start down 0-14 against Josh Allen, and that's a huge hole to dig out of. And those are, in my opinion, the two worst possessions of the game.
John in Roseville, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Hello?
Good morning, John. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Twofold point here, right? At what point do the fans and the media stop giving Dan Campbell a free pass on these rogue calls? Now, you can say that, you know, and you guys were bringing it up earlier, that the game wasn't as close as it looked, but it was. You're down 38-28, 10 points,
yeah,
with 11 minutes to go. It's supposedly the best offense in the NFL. You know, and there's a thing in football called momentum, right? So you came from 35-14, and now it's 38-28. So you are making progress playing football, and you make a call like that. And what message does that send to your defense and Aaron Glenn if you don't have the faith?
It says you're no good. But John, was he wrong to think that? Like, let's back up. You watched the whole game. Was he wrong to think my defense can't get two stops in the fourth quarter? They didn't get two stops all day. They forced one punt. Like, I don't think it's ridiculous for Dan to observe that football game with his eyes like you and I did and say, I got to steal a possession. It's a low percentage kick. I understand that, John, but they needed an extra possession. They're running out of time.
But 11 minutes to go, I mean, I think if you're handing them the ball, essentially, you're creating a turnover for them. I mean,
yeah, but what you're hoping, John,
you got it.
You're hoping to, one, recover it, but if you don't, you're hoping to get a quick stop, force a field goal, and now right? You get the ball right back again, and then you score a touchdown. You're trying to add possessions to the game. You're trying to drag the game out, because otherwise it's Josh Allen, who had scored 38 points in three quarters, going on a 10-play drive, and you're down again by the time you pick it up middle of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I just think if you don't have the faith in the defense and you have to make a call like that with 11 minutes to go down by 10, I don't think the Super Bowl is in the...
Well, oops, sorry, didn't mean to cut you off. I think that's part of the issue.
Yeah, you did. Sorry, John.
You're such a jerk.
Well, I think the goal there, too, is, hey, we got to hold them to a field goal at most.
After
right?
that, yeah.
So, and like you said, we haven't really stopped them from getting to that point anyway. One time you stopped them. And held him to a punt, but if you're going to hold him to a field goal, at least do it faster,
quick,
to save yourself a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at that point, you can't afford to. Maybe you kick it deep, and they go on a 7-8 minute drive, still ends up with a field goal. Now you're looking down, and you're like, man, we just burned a lot of clock. You know, if you give it to him at least at that range, I think that's what you're hoping for. If we don't get it, we still got to hold him to a field goal, but we're also saving ourselves some time, still needing two touchdowns.
Caller John said, if you don't trust your defense, why should they have trusted the defense in that spot? I'm waiting for the reasons for them to.
There was not. Yeah. I think the Bills averaged over, 8.5 yards a play?
Yeah, and 550 yards off.
It's ridiculous.
Now, the only thing, I want to get your answer coming up next on this. The only thing I don't understand, I could justify the onside kick because of the way the game was going. Why didn't they do it again 3 minutes later when they made it a 10-point game again? TJ, I want to get your answer next. It's 97.1. Dan Miller's call. It's 97.1. TJ Lang in studio with us on a Monday. Not a victory Monday.
No, one of these, no, it's been a while.
One of these weird losing Mondays.
Yeah, let's
Mondays.
Pick up where we finished off there. You were asking about the onside kick. You did it the first time, didn't do it the second time. I think that goes into the argument where we were talking about, hey, you're going to have to hold them to a field goal, and if you're going to do it, you can't afford to let up a bunch of time tick off that clock, right? So go back. First time they kicked the onside kick, obviously we know what happened after that. Second time you score, you don't get the onside kick. Your defense the next drive does hold Buffalo to a field goal, but they burn 6 minutes off the clock.
Right. Would you have rather had that happen?
So that's where if you onside kick it, you hold them to a field goal, you're probably saving yourself
3 minutes.
2-3 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe you're down 13 with 5 minutes left on the clock. And there was one other thing, and this might be nitpicking too, I think, but in the moment, when you did hold Buffalo to that field goal, you know, I think there was like 2:30 or 2:40, 2:45 left on the clock. You had all three timeouts. I would have considered, I think, taking a timeout, and then you're trying to get a couple plays in before that 2 minute warning, because you get that free timeout back anyways with that 2 minute warning. And it did. I mean, Buffalo did a nice job of making you stretch the field and go down there and take up all the clock, not giving you a chance to maybe get the onside kick or maybe get a stop with a minute left in the game and get the ball back. I don't know if anybody else felt that, but it was like in the time, it was like, man, I would have considered saving yourself 35-40 seconds there, just knowing that you're going to get that free timeout back once you hit the 2 minute warning.
And again, this was a daunting task when you're down as much as they were to start the fourth quarter. I don't think they lost the game because of an onside kick decision, right? I just ask it because I understood why he did it the first time, and I think it was actually more beneficial if he would have continued to do it, but he didn't. So then I wonder, am I defending him for something that he wishes he didn't even do in the first place? You know what I mean?
You can talk yourself into either one, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think in the time it was like, whoa, too early. What do we do? You know what I mean? Like, just made a 10-point game. But then the more you think about it, you're like, we really haven't stopped him anyway. So you can talk yourself into either scenario.
And that's why I kind of go back to it and I wonder.
It was just disastrous based off the return.
Yeah. But if he wasn't as wishy-washy on it, you know what I mean? Like if he said, hey,
I'm just stuck with it. We're doing it again.
He said, I'm not afraid to get criticized post-game for it. I'm going to be aggressive. So I wonder why he kind of flip-flopped in the fourth quarter on whether or not the onside kick it up 10.
PTSD when you just did it and they just returned it to the two-yard line. Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. Like, don't want another disaster situation happening. Yeah. I mean, imagine if you did kick the onside kick and it was the same result.
Oh, I know.
It'd be like, what are you doing?
This guy's a lunatic. Exactly. What is he? Yeah. He's unhinged.
Exactly. Yeah.
But he doesn't care about that, which is why I don't think it should even matter for his decision.
No, I don't. He doesn't care about the
reaction.
The reaction, but he would care, obviously, about how that would affect his team in that point of the game.
Sure. And the team might go, oh, no, here we go again.
Right. Yeah.
Let's get to the phones. 248-539-9797. Joe and Flint, you're on 97.1.
I'm not a hater, but I'm saying neither one of them my team, but they controlled the clock totally, and they used the clock perfectly. And I think if it wasn't for that injury when the man got carted off, the score would have been worse than it was. It was just in the second half, it just was a free fall after that.
Yeah, you're talking Dorsey when he got carted off.
Yeah.
I mean, not like a headliner, but just another guy that you lose in the middle of that football game.
Yeah. I mean, and it was one too where, you know, they replayed it once on TV because it was a rather nasty injury.
It's a long pause. Jason in Wayne. Jason, you're on 97.1.
Hi. Yeah, I just want to talk about the onside kick and like Dan Campbell's mentality with that. You know, with the last 3 years, you've seen how aggressive of a guy he's been. And, you know, he thought he had an opportunity there, so he took it. And if you don't think it was a good idea for Dan Campbell to be aggressive like that, then what are you doing with this team, you know? Like, this is an aggressive team. They're doing what they need to do. And Dan Campbell took that chance. That's what he's been all about.
Well, you're trying to provide a spark as well, right? I mean, obviously, I think
spark, steal his possession. Yeah, there's a lot of different reasons you do that.
Yeah, and it was pretty clear that game that Buffalo maintained the momentum, I mean, throughout most of that game, too. And you saw it even on the offensive side, you know, where the offense kind of came out a little bit flat, punt, and then Ben Johnson, okay, man, like reverse pass back to Jared Goff down. Like, those are just kind of spark plays where you try to get the adrenaline going again. So onside kick, probably the same thing. Hey, if we can get this, man, that is a massive boost of momentum back to our sideline. Yeah. So it's all about creating some spark.
But, yeah, and you want to talk about a spark. I mean, you throw a touchdown, a 9-yard reception to an offensive lineman. I know Greg is on the phone right now.
We can bump back with it.
Great. Yeah, I want to hear that call again because it was
a nice reaction.
Yeah, it was epic.
Skip.
With your, I mean, everybody in the booth. Greg, can we go ahead and play the Dan Skipper touchdown? I love you when you jump in. Skip!
Oh, dude. Because, like, it's.
You saw it.
You can see it. Yeah. Yeah.
Dan obviously has a different job. He's following the ball where I get to follow what's actually going on. So you see the guys wide open before anybody
else. Right. I did
and then you realize it's Skipper. And yeah, I get excited, dude.
So I saw him.
I hate when I do that, though.
It's okay. It's a home broadcast.
Well, exactly. You know, I don't mind the excitement. But
I do the same thing, too, right? It's a matter of, okay, I'm looking at it. I see that, you know, Skipper reports is eligible.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, well, maybe they're going to run the ball that way. Maybe there's a misdirection. And then you see it's a play-action pass. And I see him leak out late. I did the same thing. As the kids were watching, I'm like, Skipper, Skipper, Skipper. They're like, what are you doing? It's Dad's got a nervous tick now.
Yeah, it's an O-lineman thing. We get excited for each other.
Yes, exactly.
Did you ever not have an opportunity? Did you ever score a touchdown?
No, I was in the end zone in the Meadowlands, wide open, but Patrick Ramsey was flat on his back.
Oh, okay.
I was wide open.
I think I ran one route. That was jumbo tight end.
Yeah.
And the coaches all week were like, do not release downfield under any circumstance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And Aaron called a little bootleg. And in the huddle, he goes, hey, leak out late. And I was like, who do I listen to? Coaches like literally told me not to do it. But the quarterback's telling me to leak out late. I took the leak out late as get out right now.
I ran
like a drag route in the back of the end zone. I think I was open, but Aaron kept it and he scored a touchdown. But that was like, do I listen to the coaches? Do I listen to the Hall of Fame quarterback? Oh, get out late. Okay, watch this.
Yeah, I got out late. Yeah,
it was NC championship game too. I wanted to score, man. Mm-hmm. But never. That was the only time I. Would have even had an opportunity. So we get excited when other offensive linemen.
We do.
Which obviously we know in this Ben John. What's that, like the fourth offensive lineman that's got the target? That's
incredible. TJ, do you listen to your coach, your quarterback, or your inner child? Go catch a touchdown. Let's go.
All
right, we got phone calls to get to. More of that coming up next, 97.1.
Hey, we got a lot of great sporting events coming up, whether it's football. We got basketball is coming up, college basketball. Maybe you want to be there. And talking about Circa Resort and Casino, and I'm talking about Stadium Swim. There's 6 different pools, 3 different levels, and you've got a great view no matter where you're sitting or if you're swimming of the massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen. Again, that's Stadium Swim. It's America's favorite place to watch all these great moments. They've got swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy day beds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. And here's the best thing. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Lions quarterback Jared Goff. John, you hadn't heard that. You came in and basically had the same message today. Bad day to have a bad day, but nothing more.
I'm looking at the season in total. And at 12-2, do I think, first of all, we already know that they're not going to miss the playoffs, right? They're already a lock for the playoffs. Do I still think that they're going to win the division? Yes. Do I still think they're going to get the one seed? Yes. So they've set themselves up as best as they possibly can going into the playoffs. Now, when you get to the playoffs, it's a different animal, and everything is different. It's a win or go home. But I still like the fact that Dan Campbell, week in and week out, and I'm not buying the guys weren't ready to play. Like that's a coach that's willing to fall on his sword. Hey, you know, tip of the cap to you. But there's a lot more that goes into a game plan than just the coach getting you ready to play. These are professionals, and they should handle their jobs as professionals. So there's plenty of blame to go around for the fact that they did not do what they were supposed to do yesterday. And even if they did what they were supposed to do, even if they blocked things up front and protected Goff better or ran the ball better, it's still not a guarantee that they were going to beat Josh Allen yesterday, because Josh Allen yesterday was like watching Pop Warner football, and they just had the guy that on the field no one could stop.
Dan Campbell took the blame when they lost against Tampa too, and I felt at that time he was falling on the sword. His team didn't execute in the red zone, and I feel like he fell on the sword for yesterday. His defense wasn't good enough. John, even if the offense clicks, I still think they lose that game. They couldn't get enough stops on defense. And again, it's why I went from they will win the Super Bowl to they can win the Super Bowl. I'm not going to count them out, but I am concerned.
I'd be concerned if it was a pattern, you know what I mean? Like of... defense has just completely fallen apart. And I know they scored 31 points. You're coming off a hellacious stretch of three games in 11
yeah.
days.
It's right? 4 and 18 days or something. Yeah.
I think the one trend, though, that is a little concerning on defense is you've only had one takeaway in the last four games.
Yep.
So the trend of not being able to stop teams. I mean, this was still the number one team through 13 games against in the red zone, right? Third down defense, finding ways to stop the run.
But TJ,
so that wasn't a trend going into this game. Of course, you're going to have a lot of things to fix. I think the biggest thing, though, you got to start taking the ball away again.
Yeah. Yes, but I'm not. I guess trend would make it more concerning. But really, it's not about the trend to me. You're going to play a one game season. It doesn't matter about the trend. You're going to need to get the stops against the best quarterbacks in football, and against the best football, you ain't getting any stops. I mean, the one punt, 550 yards.
Yeah. But, you got time to figure it out.
You
though.
Do. Yeah. I mean, that's why I said can. Time, like, yeah, can. They still can.
Rather you do this now and
yeah.
look
then
yourself
in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
Super Bowl.
Than,
yes.
You know, when it's a win or go home type
yeah.
game.
Now everything is out there. Everything like your weaknesses are all exposed, and you know exactly what the capabilities of that Buffalo offense are. There's still some wild cards in regards to if it ends up being Kansas City, or if it ends up being Baltimore.
Yeah,
sure, there's wild cards, but again, you know more about yourself now, and that's the beauty of a 17-game season, is you get a chance to learn more and more about yourself and about everybody on that roster.
Jay, you're next up. You're on 97.1. Jay, what's going on?
Yo, what's up, guys? Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. I listen to you guys just by every morning driving to work, and I'm not going to be long. I'm going to give you a quick story. So I play for Detroit Persian. A long time ago, I'm not going to give you my age, but a little bit long ago, I'm 40 now, so I just throw it out there for the hell of it. But
I'm not going to give you my age. Yeah,
here's my age. Why not?
But, yeah, so 22 years ago.
Why not? Yeah, there you go. But our team was doing good. We was riding a win streak, and we ran up against, I think it was Southwestern, and we got knocked right in the mouth, man. And long story short, it was the best thing that happened to our team, man. And we went on another winning streak, you know. And I think this is a good wake-up call for not only the Detroit Lions, but our fan base as well. We got to sometimes just set realistic expectations. We're not going to win every game, you know. But I do have a concern with our offensive line, because Ragnar, I think he's playing hurt. I got some concern with Glasgow, and we got to get them linebackers together. But my message to Detroit Lions fans is, hey, man, don't panic. We still hold our division pretty solid. I still think we're better than Minnesota. I still think we're better than Green Bay. I still think we're the best team in the NFC. So that's pretty much about it, man. My message is just don't panic. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for calling and listening. I'm not panicking. There are reasons for concern, obvious reasons for concern, and most of them revolve around the fact that there's not going to be any reserves on the way. Like this team is who they are, and the roster is what it is. I think, like TJ said earlier, I still think top to bottom, it's one of the best, if not the best roster in football.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think you can say they'll find ways to play better, but you can't make the excuse that they're injured, because that's not going away.
No, it's not an excuse. It's
not
a fact.
Saying you are. I'm just saying there are people right. who go, well, the reason they lost because they're so beat up. That's not changing, guys. They're going to have to find ways to win regardless.
And there's always going to be a guy on the other side. Like okay, yesterday it was Ed Oliver. All right, you're going to have to find ways to block these guys. And TJ and I were talking at the break. In regards to Ben Johnson. Now, in terms of the passing game, hey, things were great. you know, you were able to move the ball downfield. Jared Goff didn't turn the ball over. Had five touchdowns, blah, blah, blah. But how are you going to call the run game when you're playing against a defense that loves to create penetration?
Yeah.
It's got to shift how you call the offense.